Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath day, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at the table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and then the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this other person." And then you will proceed with embarrassment to take a lower place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, come up higher." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends and your brothers, your relatives, and your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back, and now you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
Let me say one brief word about that first reading, which comes from the book of Sirach. Rather interesting book. The book of Sirach is named after the father of the author, and it was shaped in Hebrew about 200 years before Christ, and not long afterwards translated into Greek. What's interesting about this is it does not appear in the Hebrew scriptures. Secondly, the Reformers, all the Protestant Bibles, do not include this book. The Reformers believed it was not inspired, but you will find it in the Catholic Bible and in the Eastern and Western Orthodox. So it's interesting. It's a long book, and it's full of wisdom, all sorts of sayings that are meant to enlighten us. Enough about the book of Sirach. Let me go to this gospel. I don't want to get too involved in the detail of the parables that Jesus tells in the gospel, but the teaching has to do with self-emptying, and how self-emptying is a fundamental, the beginning of all spirituality. Without self-emptying, we have no spiritual journey. So let me speak a little bit about this. John Nevone, in his marvelous book, Triumph Through Failure, argues very persuasively that by worldly standards, Jesus was a failure. He wept over Jerusalem because he failed to convert his own people. He was abandoned, betrayed, left alone by those closest to him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes through this extraordinary trauma of fear and anxiety. In his full humanity, terrified about the death which is ahead of him. Sometimes he's contrasted to Socrates. You remember him, like 350 years before Christ. He was condemned to death and he took the hemlock, totally courageous, and he died. But Jesus, different. Jesus goes through this extraordinary trauma. And then when he's carrying his cross, who walks with him? When he dies on the cross, where are all the people that he blessed, the multitude he fed, the lepers he healed, the sick, the suffering, the sinners he welcomed? Where are they in his time of crisis? He dies on the cross. Who is at his funeral? When they bury him and take him to the tomb. By worldly standards, John Avona says, Jesus was a failure by worldly standards. We're not led by worldly standards in following Jesus Christ. Keep in mind that the Gospels tell us that Jesus taught his disciples on the way, the hodos. It was in the human experiences of every day that Jesus taught his disciples. They walked with him, they shared with him, they ate with him, and he taught them through the human experience of every day. So what does this mean to us? The self-emptying of Jesus. Well, we have self-emptying experiences. When you contrast Jesus, say, to Shakespeare's Hamlet, in the great soliloquy of Hamlet, he has this famous thing, to be or not to be. It is better to suffer the slings and fortunes, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take war with atrocities. It's a contrast, and Jesus is the servant. Jesus is the one who washes feet. He shares the Eucharist with sinners. He walks to Calvary by himself, alone, unappreciated, called a criminal even though he was innocent. And the ultimate self-donation, self-emptying, he dies on the cross and he is buried in a simple tomb with a few people present. So what does this self-emptying mean to us? It means we have to go through experiences of self-emptying. It's part of life. It's part of following Jesus Christ. And a homily is meant to raise our awareness, to make holy the human experiences which belong to each and every one of us. So what does it mean to us? Let me give you some examples. When I retired, it was an action of self-emptying. I was no longer in control. I had no administrative power. Somebody else would tell me where I was supposed to be. Somebody else would schedule me for masses wherever they wanted me to go. Instead of being in charge, making decisions, shaping a direction of a community, I was powerless. Self-emptying experience. Sometimes people find it very hard to retire. I give up power, sometimes I give up my identity when I retire. Who am I? Maybe I'll be forgotten when I retire. That's a self-emptying experience. I'll find it in my own life. Some time ago, I offended a priest, and I knew I was wrong. The manner in which I spoke to him was really wrong, and I knew I was wrong. So I wrote a letter of apology. But I never heard back. And then his sister died. I wrote another letter to him saying I was offering mass for his sister. Never heard from him. But this week, we had a convocation of priests at La Quinta. And I was there and I saw him. And I went up to him and I said, "Bill, it's me." He was delighted to see me. I apologized again profusely. He accepted my apology. We sat, we talked, we were reconciled, and we agreed that we'd go to lunch after the convocation. It was an exercise in self-emptying. When you're wrong and you apologize, there's a certain humility has to be engaged. That's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll find it in marriage. You have great expectations. And then so many of the expectations are crushed. And you have to adjust. Self-emptying. Perhaps your children don't meet your expectations. You sacrificed. You paid tuition for 12 years to go to Catholic school, and now they're Mormons. Or they don't go to church at all. And you say, self-emptying. Aging is self-emptying. You're not able to do all the things you used to do. In aging, sometimes you become dependent on other people. I can't live my life without somebody helping me. I used to be in charge. I used to be able to do all these things, but now it's different. It's an experience of self-emptying. Sometimes sickness comes that way. Sometimes we get angry that I can't achieve all the things that I want to do. Self-emptying. It will happen when you need to apologize and you have to become humble and apologize and ask for forgiveness. It's a self-emptying. That's what this gospel is about. So where in your life? Where in your family do you need to go through the experience following Jesus Christ of self-emptying? That's the meaning of the gospel. And that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It means to walk the way, the hodos, with Jesus Christ. Not to triumph in the world. In the resurrection, Jesus didn't triumph in the world. He triumphed over the world. And only those who have faith will understand what it means not to triumph in the world, but to triumph over the world. Not to be the slave of the things of the world, whether it's nobler to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Think about this. It's the meaning of the gospel. I think about it because I'm old. I've told you before, you know, the altar server some years ago. And I said, now, Billy, be patient with me. I'm getting old. He said, you're not, Monsignor, you're not getting old. You are old. And I said, you're right, I am old. But actually, people are nice to me sometimes when I'm old, so it's not that bad, you know. But there is a thing that visits every one of us, whether it's your sickness, your struggle, your conflicts, your expectations unfulfilled, whatever it is, the beginning of all spirituality in following Jesus Christ is to accept the experience of self-emptying. Amen.